the Savior this Advent season. And I think Joe just sang them all for us. Wasn't that wonderful?
Yes.
I love that. We've been looking at this, at the songs that we can find in Scripture, and we've heard the songs of Isaiah and Zechariah and Mary, songs of hope and peace and joy. And today, we're almost there. It's almost time for us to declare with joy that Christ is born. Today's scripture passage actually jumps ahead a little in the story. It's a song that the angels sing after Jesus is born, announcing that birth to a, well, unlikely audience. Hear the angels' words one more time. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. This song of the angels really encompasses all that has come before it, right? It contains messages of hope and joy and peace. But more than anything, this is a love song written by God and sung by the angels, first to the shepherds and then to us. It's telling that the audience for this song were people who lived on the outskirts of society. And these particular shepherds cared, we think, for a very special flock of sheep. So at that time, the temple in Jerusalem had its own private sheep flock. And that was to be sure that there were always unblemished lambs for the sacrifice. That's what was required. And we know from history that those flocks were pastured outside Bethlehem. So it's very likely that these shepherds were tending the flocks from which the temple offerings were chosen. And their job then was to care for the animals that would be sacrificed to atone for the sins of the people. And yet, that very job made them ceremonially unclean and unable to participate in those rituals of faith. Because of this, shepherds were often disregarded and considered even to be untrustworthy. In fact, their testimony wasn't allowed in court, wasn't believed. Despite this, good shepherds were expected to protect and care for the animals that they served, even with their very lives, if necessary. In effect, the ones who cared for the sacrificial lambs became sacrifices themselves in many ways. So one night, the shepherds were in the field, as they often were, keeping watch over their flocks by night, as we sing, unaware that the world was changing forever. And they were going to be some of the first people to know that. Suddenly, there was a glorious light filling the sky, and an angel appeared. Of course, the shepherds were scared. Terrified is what Scripture says. That's almost always what happens when an angel appears to someone in Scripture. But the message of this angel was not a scary one. It was one of good news, great news even. This very night, the Messiah has come to you. Imagine hearing that news. Knowing that you are looked down on and excluded from practicing your faith, and yet, the Savior has come. Not just to kings and princes, priests or merchants, to the wealthy, but to you. And then it was as if the heavens burst open at the same time as the shepherds' hearts did, because the solitary angel was joined by a heavenly host, all singing glory to God. Can you imagine what joy it must have been to sing in that angelic choir? They were singing in a new venue, praising God on earth as they had always done in heaven. Imagine what joy they had in going out in the middle of the night and scaring people half to death with the glory of God. Their song gave words to the feelings of those poor, shocked shepherds. And as the angel's song of love faded, the shepherds may have discussed among themselves another shocking revelation the angel had given them. Their Savior could be found in a place where young lambs were kept, laying in a feeding trough, wrapped in bands of rags and cloth. A Messiah in a manger? This they had to see. So they rushed to Bethlehem. And when the shepherds saw Jesus there, they saw not just that he had come, but a foreshadowing of why he had come. That little baby came to be the perfect lamb, to be the final, lasting sacrifice. This boy came into the world in the same way he would leave it, surrounded by the outcast, the poor, the despised, driven by one purpose, to ransom captive Israel. So when the shepherds arrived that night, they wanted to do more than just see a baby. They wanted to behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and that was exactly who they saw. But what they couldn't have known and understood at the time was the depth of that incarnation in that moment, that though he was rich for their sake, for our sake, he became poor so that by his poverty, they and we might become rich. This is the love that the angel's song was all about, a love so far beyond our own understanding, a song that they continue to sing over us even today. And I know that angels singing songs of goodwill and peace to all and calling us to rejoice this season may not seem quite right this year, when we have been hard-pressed at different points to find any joy or peace. But you see, that's the thing about love. It always shows up when we most need it, even if those are the times that we least expect it.
Look at your hands. Who are they for? Have they had a year like this one before? Have they washed and scrubbed and sanitized? Got dry and sore and moisturized? Have they done less work, been at home more? Or have they worked harder than ever before? Have they helped a neighbor, a parent or friend? Have they longed for all these restrictions to end? Have they missed friends, felt too far apart? Have they lost a loved one and clutched at your heart? This Christmas is different. It can't be the same. The world all around us has obviously changed. But the meaning of Christmas, the heart of it all, began in a baby, so precious and small, with no glitz or glamour, no parties or feasts. He came for the broken, the lonely, the least. The hands of his earth dad were dusty and worn, hardened by woodwork, but chosen for more. The hands of his mother were softer, but weary, holding her baby, eyes happy, but teary. The hands of the shepherds who visited first were rough and strong and ingrained with dirt. The hands of the angels were lifted in praise to the one we call Saviour, the Ancient of Days. To the babe whose smooth hands, so weak and so small, would one day carry the wrongs of us all, so that every person on earth may know how much they are loved by how far he would go. To rescue, redeem, forgive and restore. To give us the life that we were born for. A life full of meaning, of joy, peace and love. Walking hand in hand with our Father above. So whether your heart is heavy or light, with hands held open or screwed up tight, whether they're full or empty or tired, work-worn or restless or uninspired, just know that you don't have to do it alone to carry your burdens and trials on your own. Jesus came to walk by your side, to fill you with hope, to be your guide. Look at your hands. Who are they for? If they take hold of Jesus, they'll need nothing more.
Angel's song of love is meant for us too. Each of us, like the shepherds, is loved by a God who so desperately wants us to know him that he came to earth as one of us, lived and died so that we would know just how far God's love will go. Love came, Jesus came to walk beside us, to cry with us, to bend down to us where we may be huddled, scared, angry, sad, whatever it may be, to be where we are, to shine a light in the shadows of our hearts. May you feel that love deep in your soul this Christmas and always. May the angel's song echo in your ears, reminding you that for you, a Savior has been born. I am usually not one to read a lot of poetry, but this Advent season, I've been drawn to poems for some reason. I've been reading the works of Mary Oliver and Anne Weems and Madeline Lingle. And so I want to share with you as our invitation today, one of the poems that I have been meditating on and thinking about in this last week. It is a Madeline Lingle poem entitled First Coming. He did not wait until the world was ready, till men and nations were at peace. He came when the heavens were unsteady and prisoners cried out for release. He did not wait for the perfect time. He came when the need was deep and great. He dined with sinners and all their grime, turned water into wine. He did not wait till hearts were pure. In joy he came to a tarnished world of sin and doubt, to a world like ours of anguish, shame he came, and his light would not go out. He came to a world which did not mesh, to heal its tangles, shield its scorn. In the mystery of the Word made flesh, the Maker of the stars was born. We cannot wait till the world is sane, to raise our songs with joyful voice, for to share our grief, to touch our pain, he came with love. Rejoice, rejoice. On this day, let us respond to the angel's song of love with our own song of rejoicing, committing to following the example of the shepherds who testified about Jesus to everyone they encountered. Let us renew our commitment to following this baby for those of us who who have already made that decision, let us make sure that we are sharing that love with the world around us. And if for some of you this is not a love that you have come to know, I would love to share with you more about who Jesus is and why Jesus came as a Savior for you. I'm here after worship to talk with you, or if you're worshiping with us online, you can find all my contact information on our website as well. As we hear this song of commitment this day, let us join the angel's song of love, committing ourselves to sharing that. Otherwise, we hope to see you, or for you at least to see us online this week at our longest night service and at Christmas Eve. And now, may the song of the angels, the joy of the shepherds, and the peace of the Christ child be in your hearts as you leave this place. Go out, sing a song of love to a world who desperately needs to hear it. Amen.